Blog Talk Radio.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Records. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
This is another Green Ideas Radio Network show with Def Conversations with our star of the show, John Dilley. Good evening, John. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Snookums.
Hi, Snookums. Hey, Snookums, I see that. Did you ever go to sleep, dude? I saw on Facebook that you have been, you were up for like, what, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours, something like that?
Yeah, just over 40. I mean, sleep is overrated, man. There's just plenty for that later.
Well,
it was one of those weekends. It was crazy.
I know it's the life of a man who's self-employed and got his own business, but have fun with your show. If you need me, I'll be hiding out in the dungeon, and have a nice one.
All right, man. Strap on the shackles and enjoy the show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Def Conversations. I'll start off with a weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Greetings again, everyone, from the Def Con Sources compound located deep under a hidden Superfund site here in the post-apocalyptic wastelands of New Jersey. As usual, we have another great show on deck for tonight with another enigmatic guest, this time from the awesome world of smoke and barbecue. This will be the first introduction of a guest whose expertise is in the awesome world of smoked meats. Well, sorry about not having a show last week. Our iconic host was out of town, probably for a long-distance beer run. But, hey, we're back. Just a quick recap of last weekend. Where do I freaking start, man? It was insane this weekend. Well, here goes. Woke up at 5 a.m. Saturday, loaded up the DEF CON Gastro Salt vehicle, and headed up to Allendale, New Jersey, for the farmer's market, about an hour north. Set up until 3 p.m., cruised home, proceeded to cook up 200 pounds of wings for the insane eighth annual Duff's Brooklyn Wing Fest gig Saturday night in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. Hung out there until 4 a.m. handing out free DEF CON wings to dark thrash metal masses. Got home about 5 a.m. Unloaded the truck, got breakfast, reloaded the truck, and headed out to the Chester, New Jersey farmers market. Got done about 3 p.m. there, joined my favorite watering hole, met up with a couple of Goombas, pounded a few beers, headed home, and got my second wind, for God's sake. After about 40 hours straight, my mental capacity finally collapsed, and I was comatose for about 12 hours. Now, definitely took one for the team this weekend. Welcome to small business. Funny thing is, our guest this evening got to witness me at the Chester Market in various stages of mental disarray after the thrash bar gig. Anyway, we'll be at the Metuchen, New Jersey Farmers Market this Saturday, August 9th, from 9 a.m. to 2:30, and in Chester this Sunday, August 10th, from 10 to 3. Stop by and say hi. This weekend proves to be a little less chaotic, at least for me. Okay, now, here's a good one. Yeah, you might want to put this on the calendar. If you're anywhere near Pennsylvania on Friday, September 5th, and Saturday, September 6th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days, the 18th Annual Chili Pepper Festival rolls into Bowers, Pennsylvania. Folks, this show is huge, and it's one of the biggest shows we do every year. Literally hundreds of vendors of all things hot and spicy will be in attendance, from showstoppers like K-John's to the brand-new Greenhorns flock to the show as vendors. There's a ton of stuff going on for these 2 days, dozens of food vendors, live bands, and believe it or not, they'll even bust you to the nearby hot pepper fields where you can pick as many as you want for a crazy low price. However, I would suggest you get there early to the fields, as the people that show up are like locusts. Anyway, it's a crazy good show and a virtual who's who in the hot and spicy industry. I think this is our fifth year doing it, and we look forward to doing it more each year. It's not like regular shows where all the booths kind of like line up in rows and stuff. These are kind of spread out all throughout the fields in the William DeLong Memorial Park. Admission is just a couple of bucks, and it will take you all day to peruse the whole show. Join the thousands upon thousands that flock to the show every year. There's a reason it's gotten so big, because it's freaking awesome. For more information, go to www.pepperfestival.com for more info. Okay, quick topic for the evening. Tonight's going to be a little tad different from what we usually talk about, away from hot sauces and the like, all because of the awesome guest we'll have on in a minute. I am amazed at how the barbecue and smoked goods industry has literally exploded in the past 5 or 6 years. During the summer, many food channels on TV are nearly saturated with barbecue and smoking challenges and shows. I don't find this to be a bad thing at all. I've had the chance to meet with a couple of the bigger names in the industry over the years. And let me tell you, it's a passion, pretty much a way of life for these guys, not unlike many professional chili cooks I've met over the years as well. These guys mean business, and when you taste their final product, you'll immediately realize why. Anybody can go out and spend a few grand on a professional smoker, but it doesn't make it automatically an expert. To do this sort of thing correctly, it takes time and a lot of hands-on trial and error training. I have experimented myself from time to time, and to be honest, the stuff I've made pretty much sucked. It was edible, but so is Spam. I will give it many more tries, but when it comes to enjoying a savory meal of smoked meats, I will leave it up to the pros, and my taste buds thank me for this decision. So anyway, I don't get the lead in for tonight. It's time to bring on our guest, Daniel Bernina from Lincoln Creek Smokehouse. I met Daniel about a month ago, and I'm set up next to him at the Chester, New Jersey Farmers Market. I knew the guy was cool when he rolled his entire Lang Model 84 smoker in to feed the masses. To watch this guy in action is to know that he's good at what he does. Normally at these local markets, you know, people line up for the bread and pickle guys. Here they line up for his awesome smoked meats and sandwiches. The number of repeat customers I see heading to him every week, it's quite obvious he's good at what he does. You can find Daniel at the Pennington, New Jersey Farmers Market on Saturdays from 9 to 1, and of course at the Chester, New Jersey Farmers Market on Sundays from 10 to 3. He's the one with the line of people in front of his booth, waiting to grab his goods. Wait, that didn't quite come out right for that. I'm sorry. Anyway, welcome to Deaf Conversations, Daniel. Glad to have you aboard. You are the first barbecue and smoked meat guy we've had on the show, and I'm proud to say you're a fellow Jersey dude. We are proof good things come out of Jersey every once in a while.
Now hold that thought. You know I'm from Virginia, right?
Yeah, but you live in Jersey. Gotcha.
Yes, you did.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what, I've known you for just a short month, and I see what you guys do setting up next to me, and, man, I've had some of the stuff last couple of weeks, you know, the spicy sausage and the pork belly. Both of them, freaking awesome. I mean, I love what you do, and you're obviously very good at what you do, so I take a bow.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate the compliments.
Now to start off, we always do this little 20 questions thingy. I know it's kind of one of the things to do. And I do have a couple of questions for you. I promise it'll be painless, at least somewhat. As I ask everybody who comes on here, I mean, what got you into this entire industry that you're into? What did it for you?
Well, when I was 13 years old, needed a summer job, so I decided to start working in restaurants, washing dishes. And from there, it just became a kind of obsession, you know, never got out, ended up going to culinary school, and figuring that it was what I wanted to do with my life.
Well, that's very commendable. Most people kind of pick a course that they don't really want and follow it. You actually did just the opposite. You found something you really wanted to do and followed it, and you succeeded in it, which is something which, like I said before, is very commendable. Now, let's see. You had mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago that you cooked for some rather notable people in Washington, D.C. when you worked there. What kind of culinary training and stuff have you had, and who are you serving up?
Well, when I went to culinary school, I went to the Culinary Institute of America up in Hyde Park, New York. I graduated from there and immediately started working at the Inn at Little Washington, which is a 5-star, 5-diamond Raleigh Chateau property located just about an hour outside of Washington, D.C. And from the, there we're cooking for, secretaries of state, heads of, foreign companies, all sorts of embassy folk and whatnot, and the food there is absolutely incredible. It's one of those places you go to dine, once in your life.
Right.
Worked there for about 20 months or so, and from there just carried it on, working in a lot of fine dining restaurants, and yeah.
Well, awesome. I mean, you follow what you want to do, and I mean, like I said, that's the mark of a small business person. I mean, so many people are afraid to kind of jump into the void and do something that they don't really feel easy with. But it seems safe. From 13, you kind of had your directions when you saw it, which is that's just freaking awesome, dude. Now, when did you start up the Lincoln Creek Smokehouse gig?
Lincoln Creek Smokehouse was officially formed last September when we got when my wife and I actually got married and formed our LLC. First product we ever did was a smoked hot sauce, and from there we were like, hey, we could actually, kind of make a living off doing this, and we then went down on our honeymoon and invested in a Lang Model 84 smoker. It's all hardwood-fired smoker, never any gas, never any charcoal, and we just started it this past May. Both her and I were working at a restaurant, And we were both working at a restaurant, decided that we didn't want to be locked in a basement anymore. And we wanted to be outside serving the masses.
Absolutely, and you know, you're damn good at what you do. I mean, I see the lines of people that come to your booth just from the Little Chester Market. Now, to be honest, who runs the company, you or your lovely wife?
Well, I know she's listening at home, so absolutely my wife is the 100% owner of our company.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Now you said your first product was a smoked hot sauce. That's far and away away from smoked meats. That's kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been barbecuing. I was actually one of the first cookbooks I ever got was a barbecue Bible. I got that when I was about 14, and in there, you know, I just started experimenting. And when I first got my Lang, I wanted to start it up. And a friend of mine had 110 pounds of crimson leaf peppers, so I told him I'd buy them all from him. And I ended up smoking them and fermenting them, and that was the first product that we ever sold from Lincoln Creek Smokehouse.
Very cool. Very cool. Did it do well right off the bat, or did it take a little while?
Absolutely. I mean, we didn't know what the heck we were doing, and we just kind of, you know, like, hey, let's just do it.
Awesome. And
you stuck with it.
I mean, but there's when we first started out, man, it was just rejection after rejection. When you first start out, you're like, what the hell am I thinking? But then all of a sudden,
yeah,
you start getting a couple of people buying it, and it really makes you feel good. And then all of a sudden they really start like just multiplying. Does that kind of how it worked for you guys?
Absolutely. I mean, when we started this thing in May, we didn't really know what the heck we were doing, and we didn't have anything lined up. And fortunately, we put our faith in faith, I guess, and we just kept getting repeat customers. So one of our repeat customers actually got us into a farmer's market. And then by doing that farmer's market, we heard about the Chester farmer's market, and that's how we got in there. And then
cool. By
doing the Chester farmer's market, we ended up, you know, hearing about the Chester Food and Wine Festival and all the other big events that we've done. And so far, it's just kind of kept rolling.
And you're having fun. That's
absolutely
the key thing. If it wasn't fun, you wouldn't be doing it. Now, I definitely want to discuss some of your products, though, because, I mean, you guys are big into this stuff. Now, you guys are big into the catering gigs, too, which it makes perfect sense. Give us a little insight to your products, like the pulled pork shoulder. That's one thing I have not had yet, which I intend to try one of these days. What kind of woods and stuff do you use for that?
Okay, well, the wood that we always smoke with is a mixture of oak and hickory wood. And then we always finish everything off with a nice fruit wood. Sometimes it might be apple. Right now we got a lot of cherry at the house, so that's what we're finishing off with. All of our products are all New Jersey bred, so all of our pork comes from the great state of New Jersey. All of our beef comes from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia. You know, we're really committed to doing the whole local, sustainable, organic thing. And
sure. That's
really kind of what sets us apart from everyone else who's doing this barbecue thing in New Jersey.
Very cool. No, I love it. I mean, the amount of people lining up for the pulled pork is that's probably one of your best sellers in the market, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can.
Yeah.
I need a bigger smoker, John. I can't, you know, smoke enough pork.
Yeah, because you see, it's like nine out of ten. We're going for the pulled pork. Except last weekend, I noticed a lot of people were going for the pork belly. Why wouldn't they? I mean, that's just something that you don't see
every
day. And man, is it yummy! Oh.
Yep.
Okay, now, I got a quick question for you, because many of our people may not know this. You do two different kinds of ribs. You got the baby backs and the St. Louis style. What is the difference between the two? I know, but maybe a couple of people out there don't, because I asked a lot of people don't. Over the years, I've asked them, well, I don't know, what the hell are St. Louis ribs? I eat baby backs. What is the difference between the two of them?
Sure. So your baby backs come from next to the pork loin. So if you ever had a bone-in pork chop, the baby backs are that bone on the back side of your pork chop. Now, the St. Louis cut is coming from down off the belly. So if you imagine, trace that, you know, trace your rib bone around from your loins all the way across your belly, your St. Louis style cut's going to have a lot more meat on it, a lot more fat on it. They're going to be a lot bigger in size, and they're going to be a whole lot tastier.
Oh, cool. Okay. There it is, in a word. Now, I noticed on your website, you have all these different awesome things listed. Now, the beef brisket, that's one of those toughies. I mean, I've tried to do it. I killed it. And but, I mean, beef, how long do you have to smoke? Well, I shouldn't say for everybody, but how long do you smoke a beef brisket, and what temperature do you use?
Honestly, it varies. Typically, you'll go for about 12 hours, but I've had briskets that take as long as 16, and I've cooked them in as short as, you know, 9 hours. So,
really? Okay.
You know, typically the temperature that I try to go for is between 245 and 260. I don't ever like going above 60 with my brisket because I found that once you go over that temperature threshold, the whole piece of meat seizes up and dries right out.
Okay, that's probably what I did wrong.
Yep.
Oh, man. Now, the one thing that really grabbed my eye was the smoked turkey legs. I have had those. They are awesome. Are you going to be having them at Chester anytime soon?
It's possible. Anything is possible.
Okay.
You know, it's something that we're, you know, this is our first year, and we're still very much in our infancy. And
we're just
trying to kind of see what we can get away with, so to speak. So, you know, smoked turkey legs might be something that you could see very soon.
Okay, cool. I'm thinking like autumn time, you know the pumpkins and stuff like that are coming out, and you got Thanksgiving right around the corner. Hey, people starting to go towards the turkey stuff. But also noticed another thing that sounded freaking awesome was the whole smoked duck. That just sounds like yummy.
Yeah, that was a being a restaurant person, you know, spending most of my life in fine dining, I've seen duck cooked every single way except for barbecue. And when I bought my smoker, me being me, I decided, like, hey, why not? So I ended up getting some ducks. I got them from Jerkovich & Company. They're out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And super nice organic duck. Threw it on the smoker for about 4.5 hours. And I actually had that this past Sunday for dinner with my wife. And it was out of this world, man. Out of this world.
Now, does a lot of the ducks are really fatty. Does a lot of the fat just go right back into the meat? Does it, like, rend itself out?
Absolutely. And, you know, what really shocked me is normally you want to eat duck more, like, medium rare.
Right.
And when I cooked the duck, the breast was so tender because all that fat just rendered right out, and it really took on the smoke really well. And it was almost, the skin almost became like candy. You know, it was just a little bit sweet, nice and smoky, and then that meat was just gorgeous.
All right, so that's okay. I may be ordering one of them. Now I noticed on the website this one freaked me out, man. You got whole smoked pigs up to 225 pounds. Feeds like 150 people. How long does that take?
That'll take anywhere from about 20 to 26 hours to cook.
Okay. Man, that's a big pig.
That is a very big pig, and it'll feed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, 150, that's damn right. Now, actually, our lovely host who's sitting in the shadows over there, he wanted to know about the whole goat. Now, how long do you have to do a goat, let's say up to 40 pounds, a 40-pound goat? Do you have to do anything special to it? Because goat, it's a hit or miss. I've tried cooking goat. I suck at it. I'm the miss guy. I'm not the hit guy. How do you do it?
Sure. So what I do is I always – you know, make a nice little spice rub for it. I'll change it. You know, I won't do the traditional barbecue spice. I'll throw some, you know, crazier stuff in there, some whole coriander, some nice cracked black pepper. And what I'll do is I'll smoke it for about 6.5 hours and then just shred it right up.
Wow. All right. Now, do you use the head meat as well? Because I know a lot of the strange restaurants actually serve the goat head. You kind of pick off the meat off the head. Do you use the head as well?
Absolutely. That's the best part, John.
Sweet meats. That's, there it is.
That's the best part.
Awesome. And you got you got the whole lamb. You got the whole smoked turkey. I mean, if you go to the website LincolnCreekSmokehouse.com and you look at this guy's menu, you're just gonna start drooling. Just give the guy a call. Anyway, in addition to these great products, you have a slew more though. Like I mentioned before, the spiced smoky sausages, the pork belly that I've had the pleasure of devouring the last couple of weeks. This is a perk of having someone like this set up next to you at one of the markets. Ha. What other items do you like making? What other items do people seem to be really enjoying?
The smoked sausage actually went over really well. We had a lot of people requesting that this past weekend when we didn't have it, of course. You know, but like I said, we're still in our infancy and we're still trying to figure things out.
Sure.
You know, I can do all kinds of sandwich meats, you know, your smoked turkeys, your smoked hams. I have all types of different smoked sausages. Pretty much anything and everything that we can throw on the smoker, we can.
There you go. Now, I mean, what was the pepper used in the ones that I had, the spicy sausage?
The spicy sausage was a mixture of cracked black pepper and cayenne.
Okay, it was cayenne, yeah, because it was like a happy heat. I love cayenne. Cayenne is one of my favorite peppers. It's not a super hot. If you want it super hot, add some ghost pepper to it or something like that. Go crazy. But the cayenne really does the sausage well. Now I noticed the smoker, the Lang 84. Do you bring that to catering events, or do you do everything in house and kind of just bring the meat and set up a table and serve it? It seems to me you'd want to bring the smoker to these events.
Absolutely, the smoker's kind of half the show. You know, when people talk about the best thing they ever ate, it's usually about a time and a place and the experience. And we will try to replicate that as best we can when we do our catering. So, you know, we'll bring the smoker. We'll get it all fired up. You'll get the smell in the air. You'll get people driving by honking their horns. You know, wondering, who the heck is that guy? How do I get him over at my house, you know? And, it's really just about having the whole experience and the whole, you know, when you eat the smoked meat and you're smelling the smoke at the same time, there's kind of like a little ethereal effect that kind of goes on in your head that just is rather amazing.
I think you're right. I mean, I've been to a couple of pig parties or whatever, where they got the guy, you know, the one roasting on the spit. But the whole smell of it and the seeing of it, it's like a sensory overload thing, and everything just tastes better when you can actually see the thing when it's being cooked, and then it's just the whole. You're right. It's ethereal. Good word.
Yeah.
Now I know different woods give different flavors. Now you mentioned you usually use the oak and the hickory. Now you mentioned a couple other ones like cherry and apple. What are there any other ones you've experimented with? I've heard so many different stories about different woods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can use pretty much if it'll burn, you can use it to cook with.
Right.
You know, there's some woods that I've experimented that have a great taste, and there's some that I've experimented with that don't have a great taste. For example, one that's really awesome is pecan wood. You know, if I could get my hands on some pecan wood up here in New Jersey, I would love to use it. However, being that it is New Jersey and there's really not a pecan industry up here, I don't really think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
You know, I've used birch before, and that is just absolutely horrendous. I would stay away from using birch or pine or any other of those, like, really heavy, sappy woods. They kind of give a really bitter taste to it. But all kinds of fruit woods. I love nut woods. I've used black walnut before, and that leaves a very nice taste in your mouth. Yep. So, you know, typically what I look for in a wood or something that I'm going to smoke with is I want a nice, hearty, deep, good wood flavor. That's why I use a lot of oak and hickory.
Okay.
You know, you try to get those nice, strong flavors, and then I like to soften them up right at the end with something a little lighter. So something like a fruit wood, like a peach or a pear, cherry, apple. One of those woods kind of adds like a nice little sweet perfume at the end.
Sure. Okay. Now I noticed on your website also that you supply a number of high end restaurants in the area. I mean that is very cool. Now I mean how did you get into these? I mean these are notable restaurants. I mean how did you get into them? You just walk off the street, or did they hear about you from other people? How'd that work? I mean these restaurants is not like a regular deli place or anything like that. These are high end places.
Right. Well, I mean. Fortunately, you know, being in the restaurants that I was in, I also made a lot of connections. And through those connections, you know, I have I got restaurants all over the country that I can call up and make a reservation, and I'm going to be treated well. So that being said, you know, I give these people a call, say, hey, listen, I got a great product for you. Would you like to try it? Give them a sample. You know, so far everyone's liked everything that I give them. So, you know, just
cool.
Keep going off from there.
Very cool. Yeah, it's being in the know. Now, I noticed you're using a barbecue sauce on some of the sandwiches when you serve them at the market. You make that stuff as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Yep.
And that's available for sale as well, or is that kind
of a
secret?
We'll always have that for sale at our markets. It's going to be $10 for a jar. It's our Memphis-style barbecue sauce. It's going to be a little sweet and a little tangy. Sweetness
cool.
is coming from apple cider and molasses, and the tanginess is going to come from apple cider vinegar.
Very cool. All right, and now you have you also showed me a couple of weeks ago you had a very good smoked jalapeno sauce, almost like a chutney consistency, really, really chunky. That was really good. Now, that's I've seen a lot of people buying that.
Yep, that's really good. Quite a bit.
That's no, you did good with that. You did real good with that one. That was really tasty.
Thank you. Yeah, we got some great jalapenos from a friend of mine down in Skillman, New Jersey. He's got a farm, and his farming practices are out of this world. And he was sitting on some extra peppers, so I decided to buy them. We smoked them all and let them ferment for about 15 days, then pureed it up and jarred it.
Yes, it is, people, if you got to try this stuff. It's got a really, really mild heat to it because it's jalapenos. But, man, it's just got a really good earthy, smoky flavor to it. It's really, really good. Let's see. Now, are there any upcoming appearances or shows or festivals, fairs, markets like that you'd like to announce coming up for you guys? Do you have any special plans for, what you got?
Absolutely. So September 13th, we're going to be up at the Sparta, New Jersey Farmers Market at their annual Tomato Festival. We'll be getting about 4,000 people walking through there, and that's again up in Sparta, New Jersey. On September 13th, we'll be there from 9 till, 2 p.m., I believe. And, we're going to be serving up all your barbecue favorites. We'll also have a bunch of our sauces, and we're actually going to be unveiling a new hot sauce at that show as well.
Oh, look out.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds like fun. Sparta is one of those places. It's kind of like going to the Sussex County Fair. It's kind of out there, but it's a lot of fun. It's like is it like a total country festival kind of thing, or?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every second Saturday they do a different theme day, and this one coming up is happens to be their Tomato Festival. And
very cool.
You're going to see
cool.
a lot of different vendors there, a lot of different farmers there, and
sure.
Like I say, about 4,000 people walking through. So.
Nice. Now, for someone just starting out, I mean, there are a ton of models of smokers out there. What would you suggest? Nobody's going to go out and buy, spend like drop 5, 10, 20 grand on a smoker just starting out. What would you say for someone just starting out on smoking, trying to give it a shot? What would you say go get?
The first smoker I ever bought was a little New Bronze Fells. They're made out of, they say they're made out of Texas. I don't know exactly where they're made, but they have a little offset firebox, and that's going to give you kind of the most true-to-date, barbecue flavor. You know, you can burn wood in there, you can burn charcoal in there. It's kind of a great beginner's guide to smoking meat.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I use the old Weber style. You know, so I'm kind of old school with that. Dad used it, I used it. That's probably what stuff comes out tasting like spam, but that's just me. Let's see. Now, have you ever considered making nice. Rim shot, nice. Okay. Let's see. Now, are there any large-scale shows that you want to do or that you're looking to do, like competitions and stuff like that? Have you ever delved into that kind of thing?
Yeah, we did a competition down in North Wildwood this past July. Got a lot of fun down there. Competition is, it's a lot of fun being down there with those guys. We were right on the beach drinking a lot of beer and eating a lot
of
good food. So, it's a great atmosphere to be in. I just prefer to be out at the shows and making money and feeding the masses and getting our name out there.
Oh, absolutely. That's what small business is all about. Now, I mean, do you have any specific plans for expanding your business, or are you just kind of going with the flow, kind of see how things form in front of you?
We're just going with the flow and seeing, trying to progress our business in a way that makes sense for us the best. Since May, I mean, we've probably doubled our capacity in terms of what we can do. We're just always looking for more ways to feed more people and get our name out there even further. So,
I'll tell you what, I mean, you guys seem to be really on the right track, because I see the lines of people standing in front of your booth, and you guys got a great product. And I'm gonna tell
Absolutely.
Everybody, you got to check you guys out. Now you guys are in Pennington, New Jersey. On which days are those?
We're in Pennington from on Saturdays. From 9 till 1, we're located right at Rosedale Mills, right off Route 31.
And then John and Chester on Sundays from 10 to 3, I think it is.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, hey, holy hats, man. Look at this. The time is just flying by here. We've got to do a quick thing here. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, the one question I did have for you, we're going to kind of wrap it up with this one. Have you ever considered making beef jerky for retail?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I want you to do it, because I know you're going to do it good, and I want to try some.
Absolutely. Well, it's one thing that we've been talking about and trying to figure a way how we can make it work. And I got to tell you, we're really close. We've got a lot of people asking about it, so you'll be seeing it here pretty soon.
Awesome, man. And I look forward to a nice little swap of hot sauce for jerky. That would kind of work well. But hey,
Absolutely.
Man, I will see you on Sunday, dude. We got to kind of wrap it up here. But hey, thanks again for being on the show, and I'll see you in a few days, dude.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. Well, there's the music, folks. Guess we've got to kind of wrap it up here. I'd like to thank Daniel Bernina from Lincoln Creek Smokehouse for joining us this evening. You got to check out the line of products. There's really something there. There's something there for everybody. Go check out their site, www.lincolncreeksmokehouse.com. You'll be glad you did. Well, this is John Dilley, president of DEFCON Sauces, purveyors of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check out our stuff at www.defconsauces.com. So, until next week, we bring forward yet another twisted and slightly unstable celebrity from the world of hot sauce, barbecue, and chili. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. Take it easy.
The rest is history. Outlaw motherfucker, come and fuck with me. Keep drinking S.O.B. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. I said I'm an outlaw. I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaw. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaw, bring me three shots. Three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the one.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.